Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Child Protection in Sport Unit. We're part of the NSPCC and funded by UK Sports Councils. Our work supports organisations to safeguard all children taking part in sport.
Hello and welcome to this podcast from the NSPCC CPSU. Today we're going to be talking about parental involvement in sport, and I'm joined by parents Lisa and Jen to talk about their children's journey in sport. What kind of things do you guys do that mean that your child can continue to play sport? So kind of like washing kits and giving lifts and those kind of things. What kind of things do you kind of put in that means your child gets to do sport?
So taxiing them everywhere to take them to various matches, washing their kits. They have training kit, they have match kit. Different boots for the football on the field, or whether it's on the AstroTurf. For my daughter, it's about financially getting the competition leotards, getting the insurance.
Yeah, it's for me, it's mainly ferrying them around, making sure that they're on time, making sure that we've confirmed kickoff times, belting time with the karate thing with the karate. And the communication with the leaders and the coaches of the teams and the karate coach as well.
And do you have quite a close relationship then with those coaches, so that you know where they need to be and
yes,
at what time?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And it's nice to get the support from other parents as part of the team, especially the football. We've got like group WhatsApp messages, and just so we keep the communication open, offering to give lifts to for the children if needed, if required. But yeah, with the coaches, definitely football coach, and also with the karate coach as well.
Lovely. And what do you think would happen if you didn't do those things for your child in sport? So what do you think would happen to the club? Do you think the kids would just not do the sport? Do you think they'd still be able to manage if you guys weren't around to do all those things?
I think especially the football, I know just recently there's been other local teams surrounding where we live folded because of not had the support from the parents. And a lot of those children are coming into my son's team, which is great. Finn would never get around and doing. He needs that prompting where he needs to be.
And so even with older kids, you're still really involved in the sport. It doesn't mean that just because they're older, they kind of are self-sufficient and do their own thing. You're still very, very involved.
I think for me as well, it's an important thing to show my son that I'm there to support him, and he loves to go and watch me watch him. He loves to for his dad to go and watch him and support him, give him feedback on how he performed, not just with football, but also the karate as well. And he likes to see that he's achieved something as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in that example where clubs are folded because they've not got parental support, would you imagine in that situation it's because there just hasn't been that relationship between the club and the parents? Or do you find generally that maybe you're one of the few parents that does like to engage and that a lot of parents don't?
I think there's no engagement from the parents is what I believe.
Okay.
And the funding, you know, there's like fundraising events going on to support the team financially.
I definitely find that, you have to have the parent support as well. Whether it be sometimes you're even running the line because there isn't somebody to do that. Similarly, my son likes to for me to go and watch. But as he's getting older, he's also wanting to probably lay in his bed a little bit more. So actually getting him out and saying, well, you've got to be at training for 9 o'clock. But then he doesn't want to let his teammates down. Mm. So it does force him to get up and do some activity. Yeah. Because the older they get, I don't know if it wasn't for parents encouraging their kids, then they maybe wouldn't leave their bedroom and they would be on perhaps electronics, whereas actually getting them out and having some physical activity and they come back and they enjoy it and they're a team. And there's always times where, you know, we've got away matches and they could be a 30-40 minute drive away. And when you've got other children as well, sometimes balancing where you are all of the time, it is a big commitment to support your children. But I suppose, you know, when working parents, you can see how sometimes maybe clubs do fold because parents aren't committed to their children doing sport and activities. But similarly.
And do you find with your son's clubs that if you do have issues in terms of, you know, you've got sort childcare for the other kids because he's got an away match and you've got to drive him there, do you find them particularly supportive in that situation? So, you know, if you went to them and said, look, I've got an issue, would they maybe put you in touch with other parents about lifts and that sort of thing? Or is it mostly sort of parent-fueled?
Definitely, it's parents groups. Similarly, we have a WhatsApp group, and if I was stuck for any reason, then there are parents that would step in. But to be fair to my son's manager, he has offered on one occasion, because I just physically could not get my son there, because he is 100% behind that team. And when that comes from the manager as well, then I think the parents become more sort of behind him and the team and the boys and wanting them to do well. Even if they don't win, it doesn't matter because it's about that support. And when you know that's coming from the manager as well, I think that's great and it encourages my son.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something I think that we found from CPSU's kind of perspective, is that when the club kind of leads that participation from parents, then parents do get on board and they're more likely to get on board because they do feel that value, that when they're stuck in that kind of situation, like you said, that the coaches and the club care that much that they're going to help you out, and it makes you feel a bit more loyal to the club, I think. Absolutely. So you're going to put more in the future as well.
Definitely. I know that my son, he loves the camaraderie of it all, of being part of a team, and he's proud to be part of the team. But it's so different when he's part of the karate, because it's quite a single type of sport where he's doing it. It's not a team. Although he's part of a karate team, He's not a team. It's a single sport, and it's for your own. It's, you know, a single thing. But no, I think especially the football, Finn's really committed to it, and like certainly to your sons, he doesn't like letting the team down.
No,
so he'd always be there.
And also with the WhatsApp group, I don't know about Finn's football team, but when they win, he'll put something really motivating on that WhatsApp group. So, you know, that can be passed on to the boys to see, but also for the other parents. Maybe some of their boys weren't able to go, so it's different boys in the team, different Sundays, depending. But also if they have a loss, then it's still a motivational sort of message of, you know, you did really well, boys, you know, keep going, we're going to get there, and something, again, motivational to pick them up, because when their shoulders go down, he knows, and he doesn't want them to lose or whatever. And the boys do get, you know, disheartened perhaps when the goal's gone in or whatever, but I think sort of that, you know, sort of motivation from the manager is
definitely
and that's
important.
A really, really good example of using technology to have that relationship I think with parents, because what better way to reach you than an app that you're probably already using, and like you say, then that's getting filtered down to the kids and it's keeping you in the loop all the time, constantly. So that's really, really positive. I think that's a really good example there. So in that same kind of sort of vein, what kind of things do you expect from your club as parents? Do you expect them to keep in touch in that kind of way? Do you expect them to, you know, when your kids are in their care, do you expect them to sort of take that duty of care over and make sure your kids are happy and safe when they're there?
I think for me, the safety of it all and keeping them safe, because there's times when I drop my son off and I need to go. I can't stop and watch him do just training. It's the safety thing, leaving your child in somebody else's care. So I think that's really important, to feel that satisfied that they're happy and being well looked after.
Yeah.
I have, well, similarly, for the football, so I don't hang around for the training because there are, you know, jobs to be done at home and you're working anyway, whereas I'm always there for the matches and always support. But, yes, it is really important from a safety point of view. But I know the manager, I know the club, I know most of the parents, if not all of them, and so do feel very safe. And Kieran's got some very good friends, so, you know, that's always really strong. But then on the opposite side, for my daughter, when she does the competition gymnast, you're not allowed in that room. They are shut in. No parents are allowed to enter. So on another side of it is that they are not allowed to leave until you get there. Then they let them out. So again, it's a really good safety point of view. Mm. You know, you always wonder, oh, what they're doing in there sort of thing with the competition or whatever. But it's because they are concentrating on their routines and they don't want public parents to be there and watching, but do feel very comfortable and very safe that when I get there to collect her, then, you know, obviously nobody is sort of running off.
Yeah, it must take a lot of trust though in one respect to kind of have that closed session, because you know that for that hour or whatever it is, your kid is entirely in their hands and you're not there to kind of support your child or sort of, you know, see what's going on. And I think that's definitely like an attitude that's maybe changing now in sport. I know it's definitely typical in gymnastics where they have that closed kind of session. And I think we're seeing a lot more that clubs are changing that practice so that parents can be involved, with the understanding that parents obviously aren't a distraction. But I guess in our kind of eyes, it's important that parents are there, because they're then able to, if a child comes out of that practice and says, oh, I'm really disappointed in what I did today or whatever, then that parent is able to respond to that appropriately and respond to it having the knowledge of what they did, and actually say, I watched what you did today and actually it wasn't as bad as you think it was.
I felt really uncomfortable about it at the beginning, to be fair. But I did make sure that I researched, actually, the gymnastics club. I looked at, you know, the club welfare officer. They've got safeguarding on their website. I spoke to the three coaches that she's got and, you know, sort of really looked into the actual club itself, to a point so that I felt actually comfortable. They have then started to introduce like one-off days where you can actually then go in and sit and watch, but that is just for one session every few months or whatever. But then, yes, the rest of the time you're not allowed in, but you are allowed to obviously watch the competition.
But I guess that does mean that you've got a stronger relationship then with those coaches, because you've got that trust in them that you're not in those sessions. So I guess when you do the drop-off and the collection, is there more of a conversation with the coach about how things went? Because obviously you went there to see what
yeah, I mean, obviously they're always available there at the door when they're letting your child out. So you can talk to them about anything or ask them about future things or, you know, anything about the session. But what I do like is, again, for my daughter, she has actually ended up finding a really good group of friends. So actually, you know, she's not there singularly. There is a number of girls. They've all become good friends. So I actually feel that that's quite a good thing. And she's also part of a team, even though she actually, when she does the competition, it is individual.
Great. I guess that kind of brings us on to my next question, which is, when you were looking at sports clubs for your kids, what kind of thing did you look at? What kind of thing made you lean towards that particular sports club? Was it like sort of location or price of sort of sessions or?
I think for me was having been familiar with the club, being familiar with the coaches, how it works and what their practices are, like Lisa's just said, what their safeguarding platform is, what they take, what their club's all about, and also other parents' comments, opinions of how they are. So yeah, a bit of research for me to feel confident that I'm sending my son to a club.
So that was a big deciding factor for you then, was that the safeguarding practices were transparent and out there from the get-go.
Yeah.
Similarly, like, as I said before, I really looked into sort of the gymnastics side of it, you know, as I just explained, but also for similar to Jen, is that looking at location was good, was important to me.
I think that's
because
important
he wanted
to, a lot of parents,
to be, he wanted to be in a local team.
Yeah.
He has ended up being with some people from his school, some not. It's actually really helped him go from primary to secondary as well, because he's already got friends when he's gone into this secondary school that he's either played against or that are in his football team. And so the transition was so much easier when he's, you know, it's quite a big deal for...
'Cause he's got football mates
to go into
school
year
mates,
seven, so he's already got friends in a secondary school. So actually football has helped him with the transition of school.
So it sounds like there's lots of different factors that come into play when you're choosing a club, but safeguarding and, you know, the actual procedures of a club and stuff are right up there for you.
Absolutely.
So when you did sort of join up with the club, did you kind of find that things like the coach's qualifications, the code of conduct, the sort of safeguarding policy were available for you and you knew who that welfare officer was straight away, or is that something that you had to go and seek out once you'd joined the club?
I think for me, something I seeked out really, it wasn't there available to me straight away. And I think I think for me as well, it was the, like I say, the local knowledge, knowing that person, because I knew the person before he even joined the club. I knew he was the coach, so for me, it was that's what I made me feel comfortable at that point. Plus, also the coach's son also plays with Finn at the football, so
so you know if you ever had a problem, you know to get it sorted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think it would have made you feel more comfortable as a parent? I mean, obviously you already felt quite comfortable because you knew the coach, but do you think it would have made you feel even better if right from the get-go you'd have maybe had printed out kind of copies and you know, contact details for welfare officers and that kind of thing?
If it was, yes, definitely. If it was a team that I wasn't familiar with, I didn't know the coach, then absolutely, yeah.
And do you think that would have maybe, if it was a team you didn't know, like you say, influenced your decision a bit more?
Yes.
If they'd have been a bit more forthcoming with that?
Yes, yeah.
And I just wanted to talk a little bit about sort of how you behave on the sidelines and the type of behaviour you've maybe witnessed. And I imagine with older kids and a bit more competitive sport, you've probably witnessed the good and the bad going on there.
You always see the clapping, the like Lisa said, if a goal goes in against them, you know, heads up lads, and trying to encourage them to get... but no, I think from the sidelines, encouragement is the most important thing. I think anything negative is not a good thing.
And as parents, are you told how to behave by the club and the coaches? Is there any kind of code of conduct for you in terms of your behaviour, or is it just kind of led on the pitch as to, you know, they set
like
a good example?
A line of respect.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
which is where the side where the parents would actually stand. But obviously when you play in different clubs, it's very different. I think my son's team, you know, everyone's very supportive. I mean, there has been where we've been to tournaments and competitions where a fight has broken out with parents, not to do with the children. It does happen. It's horrendous. But that doesn't happen at my son's club. And I feel very comfortable about where he plays, who he's playing with.
And does your son's club kind of have any guidelines on how parents are expected to behave, or is it kind of like just led like that by coach? Unwritten rule,
unwritten rule. Yeah. Like Lisa has said, that line of respect. There's always a little, you know, string you stand behind, so there's no pitch invasion or anything. But no, I think it's just an unwritten rule.
Yeah.
There's no tick box thing that you can't do this, you can't do that. Mm. It's just daily life, isn't it?
I think part of what we're trying to encourage from the CPSU is that clubs have that conversation with parents really, really early on.
Yeah.
So maybe through like a parents' session or evening, or maybe in just in terms of a written kind of code of conduct, that this is the type of behaviour we expect from you. This is how we would like you to behave. And, you know, if the worst comes to the worst, this is how we don't want you to behave.
Similar to Jen, is that I actually had to seek out the information for my son's football team about welfare and the welfare officer, etc., and safeguarding. So actually, I think it would be really good if they did do something where it could be sort of handed out to parents, because I don't know if all of the people in my son's team know who the welfare officer is. I looked into it, but who's to say that another parent didn't? But like say, is that similarly, we're very similar people in my son's football team, so they all act in an appropriate way.
And I guess that you guys are really lucky in that you know, you obviously go to local clubs, so you maybe know a lot of the parents. Like you say, you've got that like-minded thing. I guess though there are going to be some parents listening to this in that situation whereby they don't know a lot of parents, and so they don't know what are the parents' expectations in terms of behaviour are. So I guess if the club sets that out from the get-go, at least you can feel kind of safe in the knowledge that, you know, everybody's expected to behave the same way, and you've all signed up to that kind of agreement that this is the right kind of behaviour and this is not.
With the gymnastics, straight away, as soon as I signed up, there was information, there was sheets of safeguarding, who the welfare officer was, absolutely everything. And that was on the first session that she actually trialled for the club.
That's great.
So I was really impressed with the gymnastics.
Yeah.
And again, that put my mind at ease with her going into a closed session.
And how do you think in those situations where you have witnessed that kind of poor behaviour or less than great behaviour from parents, how do you think that impacts the kids on the pitch? Do you think that, I mean, obviously it disrupts the game, I'd imagine. And then do you think that has a lasting effect on how they enjoy that sport, or how they feel about their achievement in that sport, that they know that parents are maybe, you know, being negative about their performance or the other team's performance?
I think it's a certain type of person is going to react that way, in an inappropriate way. And actually, one of the ones that I witnessed at this tournament was these parents fighting, and then the child or the boys of those parents swearing, effing and jeffing, and then them having banter. And actually, our football team, the boys' team, we were all just shocked at the behaviour of the parents and the kids. But unfortunately, if there are parents sort of that way, then very often the children will copy that behaviour. And so, you know, it's just a bit of, you know, not appropriate at all. But actually, yes, disrupts the game. The boys are all shocked. The atmosphere is quite aggressive as well. So,
and I imagine the boys get quite sort of upset in, you know, those kind of situations, because, you know, that the parents are shouting at somebody, aren't they, really? You know, and if that's you as a child, that must be quite quite upsetting. Even if, you know, you've got on the other end of it, your coach saying, don't listen to them, they don't know what they're talking about, kind of thing. It's still kind of directed at you. And I wonder whether sometimes maybe that impacts on that child's want to participate longer term. And I think that would be really sad because of a parent's behaviour, wouldn't it? That child doesn't want to participate anymore.
I think for my son, he saw that behaviour and you know, he actually won that match. What stuck in his mind the most, the experience, was parents arguing and him hearing bad language, and bad language directed to one of the other, his son. And I think that kind of overrided the fact that they'd won the match. So,
which is a shame.
Yeah, it is a real shame when that happens. But it wouldn't stop Finn from wanting to play. But it's just the experience of that morning.
Yeah,
that Sunday morning.
I know that, like, there's times, you know, like the my son's manager, he's not shouting in an aggressive way. He's like, come on, Kieran, get up there. Come on, go back there. And he's not meaning it is anything other than direction for the actual match. But it can be that he can sometimes feel that he is not good enough or he can't perform his best, or then he comes away going, oh, I don't want to go, I don't want to play or whatever. So it is a little bit demoralising. But actually, you know, in that situation, it wasn't meant in that way. But you can see from a child how they can think, oh, someone's getting on to me, rather than it actually being like a direction. So there's different ways of, you know, sort of saying
as coach, well. Does your coach at the end of the match have a team talk and pick them back up again, regardless of the outcome of the match, the score? Finn's coach does, which I think is brilliant. Yeah. Gets them all to sit down. And I think that teaches the children respect of the coach as well.
Definitely. But I don't know if it's now that, like, you know, he's getting that little bit older. But you can see it with the boys as well, that, you know, their sort of behaviour and tempers and hormones are all going, and they probably get a little bit, you know, more aggressive. And I suppose it's very difficult for the coaches to kind of manage that sort of behaviour as well from the boys on the pitch.
Yeah. And I guess that then falls into your laps as parents, that, you know, when they do start kind of coming out with that kind of aggressive stuff, is you've got to try and manage that and rein that back. So without you guys there, I guess the coach would have a massive job on their hands to try and maybe manage that preteen hormonal kind of behaviour. And so, and how, with Lisa, with your son, when he kind of has that experience on the pitch where he feels maybe a little bit gotten at, how do you manage that as a parent in terms of supporting him?
Just to encourage him, just say it's direction, it's not aggressive behaviour, it's about direction, because he's wanting to obviously win the match. You know, so it's more about how you played really well. You know, it doesn't matter maybe that you've not won, or if they have won, you've still won. You know, so it's just really sort of encouraging him, because I want him to play sport. I don't want him to be sitting on an Xbox. And I want him to get out. And actually, when he's out and he's running around, he absolutely loves it, and he loves that, being a part of a team. So it's just reminding him of that, really, and encouraging him all the time, as I encourage, you know, my other two children as well.
That's great. Thanks. I think we've got some really good talking points here today, and I'd just like to thank everyone for taking part. That is the end of our podcast today. Thank you for listening. If you want any more information on involving parents in sport, or if you're a sport parent yourself and looking for some informational guidance, just head on over to our website. It's thecpsu.org.uk and then /parents.
Thank you for listening to this Child Protection in Sport Unit podcast. If you're looking for more information and resources on safeguarding children in sport, please visit our website at thecpsu.org.uk.